Good evening. It is Tuesday. I am Michael Cullen, producer Mike Peterson. Great to have you here on 1320 WILS. Tonight, we'll hear from the founder of the nation's largest grassroots immigration reduction advocacy group on the H-1B visa program, President Trump issuing an executive order to review the program. We'll hear why it's harming American workers. Also, the country's leading authority on vitamin D will be here. We'll find out if you may be deficient and what that means to your health. Let's begin with the latest news on Flint. Today, the mayor of Flint reversing course, recommending that Flint should remain on the Detroit area water system. Let's find out if that's a good idea. Melissa Mays with us, Flint resident and founder of What Are You Fighting For? It's whatareyoufightingfor.com is where you can find her. Melissa, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, because this is what Flint was on, what, for would it be decades then before the whole debacle happened?
Yeah, this was something, we were on Detroit for 50 years. We got switched off to prepare for the KWA, and this is something that we've been fighting. We, as residents, did not want to go to the KWA. We didn't want to switch water sources, and so today was actually a good day for us. It was actually some good news.
KWA, that's the Karagandhi Water Authority. Where did this idea come from, and what is this exactly?
It has been in the making for decades, but the Genesee County Drain Commissioner, Jeff Wright, is the CEO, and he had worked with the former mayor of Flint, as well as a lot of other elected officials, to put together an idea to run a pipeline that ran right alongside in the same direction from the same water source as Detroit's, except they were not going to treat the water at the source, and they were going to pipe 70 miles of untreated water to our antiquated water treatment plant and then put it out into our city. So there were so many problems with this. And then when our new mayor came in, she got to be on the board, appoint her own people, one of which was Dr. Laura Sullivan, a mechanical engineer, a professor at Kettering University, who said, wait, you don't even have a way to test the water. There are so many issues, and our water treatment plant's not ready. We are not ready for this. So we actually fought because we didn't want to make this decision, but the emergency managers and the governor's office made this decision for us. Yeah, another thing we're fighting against.
Now, the mayor initially supported, right, moving to the Karagandhi Water Authority. What changed her mind then?
Well, she believed that we were stuck in the contract. The contract had already been signed, and according to Jeff Wright, a contract is a contract. So what had happened was we found out that the actual funding for the KWA was done on false pretenses under a false environmental emergency. So that's come out during this whole investigation, which changes things altogether. So they got to work on the actual problems with the actual contract itself, mm-hmm. and were able to get out of it. And then Great Lakes Water Authority is going to assume our debt for that, because there's no reason that this should be on the backs of the Flint residents when, one, it was something we didn't want, two, our water rates were going to go even higher because it's a mess, and three, we are in no way, shape, or form ready for this, and they should have known this. The Karagandhi, the KWA itself, they should have known that our water treatment plant was not ready for this, and they did know it. They were alerted to this, but they went ahead with it anyway.
So now Flint's going to still have to pay $7 million annually for bond payments, right, to the KWA. What do you think of that?
Well, actually, with the Great Lakes Water Authority assuming that part of it for us, it actually does relieve our city of having to pay that debt, which was a huge, huge relief for us because we don't want to pay for two water sources. One is enough.
Okay. So Melissa Mays with us, Flint resident Melissa Mays. So what does this really mean then for the city and for you personally as a resident there?
That we're not going to have to go through another disastrous water source. We can stay the course with where we're at, stay on the one water source while trying to rebuild our infrastructure and our lives. We're not going to have to go through another experimental water switch because that's what it is. The KWA is not even finished. It would be putting us as guinea pigs yet again, and we've already been through this once, and look how badly it turned out. So now we get to avoid going through it yet a second time while we're still all traumatized and trying to fix what was broken.
Incredible. So really, if nothing had been done at all, if you had been left on Detroit, and do you think Flint would have remained on Detroit had everything been fine, or do you think the move would have been to KWA had the whole debacle not occurred?
I think that that if we'd stayed on Detroit, none of this would have happened. Had we not been moved to make way for the Karagandhi Water Authority, none of us would be poisoned, and you and I wouldn't be speaking right now.
Yeah. So the KWA being built, was that part of the calculation of moving Flint to the Flint River as a source? Was that part of it?
Absolutely. They wanted to get off of Detroit, so stop paying Detroit the money, to keep the money in Flint and treat our own water for a year and a half and put the extra funds towards finishing up the KWA. And that's what was happening to us and why our bills went so high. So they told us that it was Detroit upcharging us, but of course investigations have been done into that, and that's not accurate. And so then had we just stayed the course we were at, had these businessmen not gotten greedy and wanted to have their own profit-making pipeline, and they kept talking about all the money we can make selling, you know, the untreated water off the DTE and General Motors and all of this. But what was completely left out of that equation was what was going to happen to the Flint residents and our health and safety. And that was one of the things our mayor brought up today, was that this decision had to be made for the health and safety of the residents.
Now, what's happening now? So far, I know there's some lawsuits pending. Are there any new developments on that end?
Well, the latest settlement with the lawsuit is that all lead and galvanized service lines will be replaced within 3 years, and that actually kicks off this coming month. So we went from 850 lines being replaced last year to 6,000 a year for the next 3 years, or more if they find more as they're digging up the curb boxes. So that's a huge step forward.
With the weather now getting much warmer, I mean, are they working? I mean, are you seeing work getting done right now?
Yes, actually, because we didn't have a huge, horrible freeze, they've been able to get more done. And then the next phase of the Fast Start program starts next month, which is very exciting. We need to see pipes coming out of the ground.
Yeah. Is that going to happen in your neighborhood?
We're not slated for year one in my neighborhood. They're aiming for the neighborhoods that are most likely to have more lead service lines, as well as those with small children or elderly in the neighborhood. And where I'm at, we're kind of middle of the road there. So we're not on for year one. Hopefully, my neighborhood will be for the next year or the third year even. But, I mean, I personally have a copper service line, so I'm not going to see a service line replacement, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But then they're saying that only the lead and galvanized pose the biggest lead risk.
Okay. So what happens in cases like yours, where you don't have a lead line, you still don't trust your water. You've told me before there's some major problems there. So what does that mean for your home?
We're staying on bottled water pretty much permanently until they do replace the interior plumbing of homes, the copper service lines go, and the mains are replaced.
Who's going to do that, though?
Well, that's what the other lawsuits are for. So that's what the personal and property damages lawsuits are for. And there are several that are pending and appealed back and forth, bouncing back and forth. So we just have to hope that the state will do the right thing and settle those out as well.
Well, that sounds expensive. You're talking about replacing the pipes inside the homes. Any idea how much that would end up costing?
For one home, I know it was about $3,200. They had one bathroom. For a second bathroom, it's an additional $2,500, because you're talking about replacing all the fixtures plus the water heater and all the plumbing inside. Mm-hmm. So it's expensive for us to do, but again, this is a lesson. Do the right thing from the start. Do your research beforehand. Don't put people's lives at risk. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, something that might save you $5 million won't end up costing you $1.5 billion down the road.
Okay. Is this something that would take, what, 5 years from now we'd see pipes inside the homes being replaced? Is that the timeline?
Well, we would hope. I mean, so far there's no plans to replace the pipes inside the homes. The state has not come to any kind of agreement to do that, so we still have to fight for that. Because, again, if they're destroyed out in the streets and in the ground, guess what still happened in our home? They were metal, too, and they got corroded. So it's another source. You can give me a new service line, but if the mains are crumbling outside of that and then the home's crumbling inside of it, it's not going to help that much. But that's why we're going to do continued testing around service line replacement to see if the problem still exists, which I feel that it will, but only time will tell.
Well, okay, that sounds like so you're dug in then for a while then. How's the bottled water situation going? Is it just normalized at this point for you?
It stinks. Every time I hear a crushing water bottle, it's just like nailed down a chalkboard. But I know that we have to do this to protect our families, that we cannot trust the tap water, the fluctuation in the metals and the bacteria, and we just have to do what we have to do right now. But I do not want people to think that this is a normal thing or an acceptable way to live, because there's no dignity in living bottle to bottle.
So in terms of washing and showering, is that something you're doing with the water out of the tap at this point?
We have two shower filters rigged up on our shower head. Thankfully, my husband used to be a plumber. Mm-hmm. And so we have about $130 in shower head filters that we replace constantly because it does hurt to shower. I was gone for several days last week, and then coming home, the first shower, I broke out in a rash, and my skin's peeling again on my face, and it's that old, oh, ouch, this hurts, even with two shower head filters. But that's the only choice that we have because we can't get enough bottled water for all five of us to bathe in bottled water every day.
Well, okay. For someone listening who thinks that they just can't believe what you're saying, that the water's that corrosive on the skin, what would you say to them?
Come to Flint. Come shower at my house. I've opened the door. I told Governor Snyder, anybody who wants to think that, you know, things are better and that things are fine, come to my house. I've got two bathrooms. You can take a nice shower and let me know how you feel, because there are camera crews that have been run out of my bathroom because as we let the shower run, the chemical smell was so bad it made them nauseous and burned their eyes.
Flint resident Melissa Mays, find her at waterufightingfor.com. That's waterufightingfor.com. Melissa, thank you for the update.
No problem. Thank you.